So these were just a couple of the ideas I stressed.
There are other things, you know, in common as between Buddhists in or from the UK and these Indian ex-untouchable Buddhists. We're all trying to get away from religious conditioning, previous religious conditioning of one kind or another. We, in many cases, are trying to get away from our Christian conditioning, our Protestant conditioning, our Catholic conditioning, our conditioning of guilt, very often. I can remember on one of the women's study retreats up at Pabaloka last year, some of the ladies really went to town about the Virgin Mary. Apparently they really suffered at the hands of the Virgin Mary. I won't go into the details, but yes, they suffered at the hands of the Virgin Mary, and they weren't very pleased with her or very happy about her. So you know, we suffer, or many of us do, from our Christian past conditioning. These people suffer from their Hindu conditioning. They suffer from their Hindu past. They suffer, of course, from the Hindu caste system itself. And they feel very, very strongly about this. This is still a problem. By becoming Buddhist, yes, they've gained self-respect, they've improved themselves in all sorts of ways. But a lot of Hindus still regard them as untouchables and try to treat them as such. And become very, very resentful when the ex-untouchables, the Buddhists, get, as the Hindus think, above themselves. If they dress a bit too well, the Hindus think that Hinduism is being insulted, because their holy books say that these people shouldn't dress well. This is quite a point. If a woman wears a nice sari, or a man wears a good suit, or if they wear ornaments, they're sort of insulting the Hindu religion. They're getting a bit above themselves, and they have to be punished. So all the time that I was in India, you know, every few weeks there'd be cases reported in the newspapers of ex-untouchables being attacked. Not so much in Maharashtra, but especially in the United Provinces, being attacked, women being raped, people being murdered, houses being burnt. So one has this in the background all the time as a constant reminder. And supposing we you know, here in London, you know, we were to read in the newspapers from time to time, last night, 5 Buddhists in, say, Birmingham, stabbed to death. 10 Buddhists in Glasgow burned to death when their house was set on fire. And so, supposing we were reading, you know, these sort of things in the papers from time to time, what would we feel? But this is what the sort of experience that these people have from time to time. So they feel very, very strongly about Hinduism. They feel under constant threat of attack by the caste Hindus. I remember, in the course of my tour of Marathwada, I was staying at a railway place called Dand, and we were put up in a very poor sort of house. I had a little room to myself, and there was a bed, a wooden bed with a mattress. For some reason or other, I don't know why, I looked underneath the mattress, and there was a big knife. So the reason was clear: self-defense, just in case. If they're attacked one night by caste Hindus, right? They've got a knife. They don't believe, I'm afraid, to this extent, in non-violence. If they can, they retaliate. But usually they're vastly outnumbered and they're just killed. So, you know, this was a bit of an eye-opener in a way. It was a sort of reminder. This is the, you know, these are the conditions under which, you know, these people, you know, have to live. Nonetheless, I did also detect on this visit some change of heart among some Hindus. In fact, there was a Hindu organization called Vishwa Hindu Parishad which pursued me and was asking me to give lectures and so on. And I gave one lecture for them at which I really spoke my mind about Hinduism. I called it Religion and the Secular State. I won't give you a summary. You might, you know, see the English transcript of it sometime. But anyway, there were signs of a change of heart to some extent among some Hindus. But I remember, I mean, this lecture I gave for this Hindu organization was in Aurangabad, and there was a very interesting experience in this connection. The day before the lecture, the office bearers of this organization wanted to invite me to their office in Aurangabad city, just for a cup of tea. So Loka Mitra and I went along, or we were to go along, and from there we were to go directly to a locality, a Buddhist locality, a ex-untouchable locality, for an evening meeting. There was a lot of confusion, the car didn't turn up. I won't give you the whole story, but anyway, with great difficulty we found this office. and we were an hour late, and I gave a little talk. They gave us tea. There were about 30 people who'd gathered to brief me about their organisation and so on. So from there we went to the meeting, the Buddhist meeting in the Buddhist locality. We found one of the Indian order members beside himself with anxiety. And he, as soon as he saw Lokamitra, he really scolded him. He said, where have you been? Where have you been taking Bhante? So Lokamitra said, well, we just had, you know, had tea with these people. So he said, you took Bhante to have tea with those people? He said, do you realize you might have been poisoned? So Lokamitra was a bit taken aback. But this Indian order member seriously thought that we might have been in danger. He didn't trust any Hindu organization, one little bit. He seriously thought, you know, when we didn't turn up, not knowing what had happened, you know, before we went to this office, he seriously thought that the Hindus might have lured us to this office of theirs to give us some poisoned coffee or something. This is not uncommon in India, just to get us out of the way. He was really as worried as that, and he really scolded Lokamitra that he'd just taken me there, and we hadn't taken a sort of troop of our own people with us, etc., etc. So this also showed me the depth of the suspicion and, well, hatred, one might almost say. Because, you know, the ex-Sanskrit Buddhists have really suffered at the hands of Orthodox Hinduism, Orthodox Hindus, and continue to do so.